Okay, let's open with a word of prayer before we get started today. Dear Heavenly Father, Almighty God, we praise Thee, we give Thee thanks, we glorify Thy name, and we thank Thee for Thine only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, who went to the cross, stepped into the breach for us sinners, that we may be redeemed by His holy and precious blood, and that on that glorious day when we are taken home, that we will spend all eternity with Thee in Thy great, bountiful heaven. Lord, now I pray that the ears that hear this message today will be opened, and the hearts will be receptive, Lord, and that precious souls will be won over to Thee, that Thou would be glorified. Give unto me wisdom this day, Lord. Guide my tongue, guide my mind, and guide my heart, Lord, that I may glorify Thee. For it's in Jesus' wonderful and precious and holy name I pray. Amen. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians 9:16. 1 Corinthians 9, verse 16, for our scripture base today. I've entitled the message, When Hell Freezes Over. I think many of you have heard that saying sometime in your lives. When hell freezes over, well, when are you going to do this for me? And the response might be, well, when hell freezes over. In other words, never. Never, because hell will never freeze over. Hell is a permanent abode for sinners, where they will dwell for all eternity in punishment for rejecting Jesus Christ. Okay, 1 Corinthians 9:16. For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of. For necessity is laid upon me, yea, woe is unto me, if I preach not the gospel. Stern warning there from our great God, as penned by Paul in 1 Corinthians. Now, how many of you have had this term come up in a conversation? I'll repeat, when hell freezes over. When hell freezes over. Oh, yeah, sure, I'm sorry. I'm sorry I said that, yeah. And then you turn your back and you think in your mind, yeah, I'm sorry. When hell freezes over. Or, don't worry, I'll pay you back. I'll pay you back every cent. Then in your mind, you're saying to yourself, when hell freezes over. Now, you know why hell never freezes over, why it never will, because its flames of death will always be stoked by the fuel of sin. Sin is the devil's fuel. The more sin he has, the stronger the flames. The greater the heat, as they say. If you can't stand the heat, get out of the kitchen. If you can't stand the heat, don't go to hell. You know, sin will never die. Man, well, it's appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. But there's a second death. The body may die, but the body will be resurrected, because it will go to one place or the other, either heaven to be with the Lord for all eternity, in joy and happiness, which many of you who are not saved doubt, or into an eternal hellfire where the devil and his angels wait to scorn you and laugh at you and mock you and You know, hell's real, people. Do you have to go there to see it for yourself to know it? Why would Jesus Christ preach more on hell than he did on heaven? because he doesn't want anyone to go there. Wake up, will you? One day an expedition of scientists drilled a hole in the earth in Siberia. You know where Siberia is, in communist Russia? They simply wanted to know what was down there as far down as they could go, drilling their hole way down. Perhaps they were secretly trying to disprove the presence of hell. It didn't exist. You know, it's been said that hell is in the center of the earth. And it's also been estimated that the center of the earth, the core of the earth, is a raging furnace of fire. Perhaps their purpose was to mine, M-I-N-E, for various mineral deposits. We don't know for sure. It's not very clear. But what is clear that they did drill the hole. Day after day, they drilled deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper until one day, one of the team heard something strange emanating from down below. It was a sound that was unimaginable to the ears. Others gathered about to listen. The sounds were strange and could not be properly defined. Then one of the team lowered a microphone to record those sounds. Oh. Now, these sounds are recorded. You can pick them up on the internet if you look on the web under hell. You will see the story if it's still there, unless they took it off because it was disturbing too many people, which is always the case. Hell has that effect on people. It disturbs you. That's why preachers don't preach about it much anymore today. And in the churches of the land, hell has become like a no-no, taboo in the churches. No-no, speak glorious utterings of heaven. And how wonderful it is when we all get there. Only about 10% are probably going. But not hell, no, we don't talk about hell. Now, if you listen to the recording, you may very well be convinced that hell and all its torment really, really does exist. You will also realize the millions of lost souls, the Christ rejectors of the past centuries, that they are not willing, or pardon me, that they are not yelling for joy. They are not having a picnic. All right? Did you know that hell has been enlarged? Because there are so many who have decided there's no God. They don't believe in the Bible. They don't believe that Jesus paid the supreme price for our sins. And more people every day are taking that train of thought that, oh, when you die, you die. That's it. It's all over. Case closed. No, it's not case closed. It may be your case that's closed, but it's also your hell that is open. So hell had to be enlarged to accommodate foolish souls, rejectors of Jesus Christ. You know, the Bible says that in hell, the worm dieth not. The worm is the mind. In other words, you'll know why you're there. You'll be cognizant, conscious of what's going on. You will feel your suffering, your agony. The Word of God's referring to your mind, your sense of right and wrong, and the reason why you are there for all eternity, separated from God and heaven's glory forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. Did you ever hear that the flames of hell are so hot that they're black? Black, huh? That's pretty hot. The point is that you'd think anything that hot would consume everything in or near it, just like Nebuchadnezzar's furnace of death. Do you recall what the Bible says about the old king's furnace? It was so hot that when they were throwing in the three Jewish children, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, into the flames, when they opened the furnace door to throw them into the flames, the soldiers that were tossing them in were themselves consumed by the heat. Yet inside the fiery furnace could be seen four men. Yes, four. Even though only three had been thrown in. Oh, that's strange. Now, where did the fourth person come from? And who was he? And what was he doing in a fiery hot furnace walking around with three young Hebrew men? Well, I'll tell you who he was. Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. He came from glory. And why was Jesus in the furnace with these three Hebrews? They could see him. Even those gathered around outside could see our Savior inside the furnace, strolling around with his three believers, but they didn't know who he was. Can you imagine their conversation? What they might have talked about, what Jesus said to them as the flames tried to devour them? The Bible doesn't say, however. I feel very confident that our Savior's words had to be something like, "Be not afraid, for I am with thee." Oh man, that would do it for me. No, sir, no, ma'am, no way was my God going to allow that cursed King Nebuchadnezzar to make ashes out of three of his favorite sons. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They walked out of those black-tipped flames without so much as a scorched finger or a single hair on their head. Not even the smell of smoke was with them. They may have been thrown into the king's hellfire, but the King of Kings set them free. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Can you not picture it? And as they walked out of the burning, fiery furnace, they would have had to step over the burnt, smoking carcasses of the enemy soldiers and stand erect before the wide-eyed devil king who had tried to claim them for his own. But what about the fourth man? Who do they think he was? And where was he? Was he consumed? How is it possible, you ask? How is it possible? Sounds like a fairy tale, doesn't it? Like Jonah and the whale. My friends, fairy tales come from the pen of man, not from the pen of God. How is it possible, you ask? How is it possible? With God, all things are possible. This is why when you go to hell, if that's your choice, and all you have to do is reject Jesus Christ as your Savior, and you're on your way. So when you go to hell, those black hot flames will not consume you. But be sure, you will suffer great torment as they lick at your heels and cursed soul, as a scowling, mocking angel of death laughs insanely at your eternal suffering. What a victory it will be for Satan. Most Christians today do not believe that the alternative to salvation through Jesus Christ is a literal, fiery, eternal hell. My heart laments for these people. Truly. You know, since people like Billy Graham and Pope John Paul spread the word that's contrary to Scripture, that there is no literal hell, millions more now will end up enveloped by the flames of hell. But they will have to answer to God. They will have to answer for these precious souls who believed what they were saying instead of what God was saying. You see, hell is not just a separation from a holy God. Hell is not just some scare tactic from the pulpit to scare people to join the church. Without the continued adamant preaching of hellfire and its torment, those who are skeptical about it will perish. Not die, perish. There's a difference. We must rediscover the truth about hell. Out of the 1870 verses containing, or pardon me, let me rephrase that, out of 1,870 verses containing the words of our Lord Jesus, 13% of them are about judgment and hell. It's up to each one of us to ignite the flames of hell now, more than ever, to awaken those who preach the word of God from the pulpits of our churches. Being evangelical is not the same as being evangelistic. For many evangelicals, hell has frozen over. They'll probably want to take their skates with them. You know what a nihilism is? It's the belief that hell is not eternal. That the unsaved simply burn up and it's all over. No more existence. No memories. Nothing. Are you willing to take that risk? Are you willing to call God a liar? Well, tell that to the rich man who begged for Lazarus to cool his tongue with a drop of water. He said, "Oh, I'm tormented in this flame." He wanted just one drop of water on his tongue. The trend today is denial. It's simply denial of total punishment. So-called Christians today have introduced appalling theologies which make God a sadistic monster. Hell is not eternal punishment, they say, but rather total non-being. From human being to non-being. Our universities have become so fragmented with the scriptures, their theologies now act as corrupt battering rams to what was once the true creed of Christianity. The emphasis today is on love. Love, 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 love. Everything is love. Love your neighbor. Love your brother. Love your sister. Love your kids. Love your dog. Love your cat. Love your enemies. That's great. And yes, God is love. But without truth, love is just another word. Just another word. My friends, a man by the name of Charlie Peace, a convicted murderer on his walk to the gallows, noted that the preacher at his side mentioned the word hell in his prayer. He asked the preacher, "Preacher, do you believe in what you're reading?" To which the preacher replied, "I certainly do." "Well," said Charlie, "if I believed your hell, if I believed your hell to be true, I'd crawl to the four corners of the earth over broken glass just to warn everybody." My friends, we must at all costs rediscover the terror of hell. Hell is real. No, it's not a pleasant topic to talk about. Who wants to think about hell? Nobody. But who wants to go there? Nobody. But hell is real and true. It's scriptural. It's from the mouth of the Lord Jesus. If we don't want to hear that hell is true, then we cannot claim the Lord's Supper, for it too cannot be real. Neither can the crucifixion or the resurrection. And it seems people who don't believe in hell don't believe in all the other truths about Scripture either. So, it's one neat package, as they say. Oh yeah, I've been there, I've seen it, I've seen the suffering, where was God then? Well, you want to know where God is? He's right where he's always been, on the throne. And he's waiting for you to come to him. And don't say, "Well, I prayed and God didn't answer my prayer." No, you know why? Because you're not saved. You can only come to God, the Father, through Jesus, the Son. Get saved first, then God will listen to you. And how dare we call Jesus loving when he threatens us with eternal hellfire? Would there not be more love in a Charles Manson or a Ted Bundy who would kill us outright, believing that we should pass away into no existence? If Jesus really loved us, if there be any compassion in the heart of Christ, why couldn't he simply leave us who deny him in the grave? Have you ever thought about it? I mean, if you don't want to live with him in heaven, why couldn't you just be left to yourselves? The answer is obvious. He made us. He made us. He owns us. And he can do as he pleases with us. But why, you ask, why? A man asked the question, why couldn't God have made everyone perfect, like the angels? Then there would be no need for his son being crucified, no need for punishment and hell. Well, first of all, let me say, even the angels weren't perfect. Satan was an angel. An angel among angels. Until pride got in the way. He rebelled, gathered a multitude of his peers, and came to earth to claim it for his own. It's all about sin, ladies and gentlemen. It's all about free will. It's all about suffering and joy and peace and truth. It's all about God. It's all about choice. Why have the cross if there's no hell? If you remove hell from the equation, then you remove the wrath, the love, and justice of Almighty God. If this be, then 'tis better that we all return to the womb from which we come, and Jesus to the tomb, for the preaching of the cross would be in vain. Yes, God could have filled the world with obedient, robotical figures of mankind, a world without sin, a world without evil, a world where even Lucifer had no claim. There would be no good, that because there would be no evil. We would be toys, toys of God. Manipulate. But we are not robots or toys. We are living, breathing creatures created by a holy God and given a free will to choose between good and evil. Is that not how it all began in the garden? Adam and Eve had a choice. We all have a choice. The blessings, the peace, the joy, the hope, it has made available the eternal heavens to open for us, that we may go and be with our Savior, Jesus Christ. Eternity in heaven awaits whoever will believe in the Son of God. Don't be fooled by the trickery of Satan. I talked to a young man just the other day, and I could tell by the way he was dressed according to the world, and not to be judgmental, but he was running with the world. I never had to open my mouth and ask him any question. I never seen him before in my life, but I didn't have to because I could tell. Now, someone's going to say, well, you're prejudging the man. Well, I'm sorry, but I don't mean to. It's just that some things become obvious. You know them by their fruits. I mean, the way that you appear in public, the way you... the attire you wear, the way you even comb your hair, tells something of your attitude in life in general. And so it was that when I spoke to him and I told him about my Jesus, he rebuked me and said, you don't believe in that stuff, do you? I don't believe in that garbage. You know, everybody says, you know, we got a God who loves everybody, you know. Well, I tell you, I prayed lots of times to God. He never answers my prayers. And, you know, no, he won't. You can't go on being a sinner and not believing in Jesus Christ and then say, God, will you help me today? I need you. You expect God to answer you? Get saved! Come to him. And then he told me about all his exploits in life, you know. I mean, he was only in his early 20s, and yet he lived a full life, you know. He'd been stabbed, he'd been clubbed, he'd been in jail and tortured, and, you know, and his whole family life was a mess. He said, I'm just going to live the best I can, you know, and do whatever I want to do. And I'm enjoying myself, although he was sitting there in total misery. I urged them so much to come to Jesus, that our Savior loved him. I gave him my testimony. I told him that I'd been through the same hell on earth that he had gone through. That my life bottomed out. And I was at the point where there was nothing left. I knew all about the drinking and the cussing and the trouble and the getting in trouble with the law and troubles in the home and father-son relationships and all that. I knew all that. I've been there. I'm a 69-year-old man. I'm talking to a 24-year-old. And he's trying to tell me he doesn't believe. Why? Because he's had no reason to believe. Because the life that he chose is not conducive to a Christian life. And the God that he claims ignores him, won't listen to him. But he will listen if you are seeking him out truly with your heart. If you want to know the gospel, he'll listen to you. He'll tell you. He'll receive you. You think he gave his only begotten son to die on the cross for nothing? It's not a fantasy. It's real. Come to Jesus. Change your ways. Acknowledge him. Believe in him. He'll save you. And then you will have a relationship with God the Father. I know of what I speak. I've been there. I've been on the other side. And now, praise be to God, I'm on his side. And I'm much, much happier. And I'm looking forward to that day. Oh, that wonderful day when Jesus will come, take us home to be in glory with him. What a day that will be. When my Jesus I shall see, and I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace, and he takes me by the hand, and leads me through the promised land. What a day, glorious day, that will be. And it can be a glorious day for you. Are you going to believe that Jesus paid the price for you? Are you going to believe that he's real and he's waiting for you to come to him? Or are you just going to wait and hope that hell freezes over? You know, we have good because we have evil. If there was no evil, there'd be no good. If there's no good, there'd be no evil. We have heaven because we have hell. We have wrong because we have right. Choose ye this day who you will serve. Let us pray. O holy and righteous God, thou hast said that every knee shall bow before thee one day. May they bow even now as we prepare to crawl through the broken glass that leadeth forth in the cause of Christ Jesus, your blessed Son. For the redemption of sinners is at hand. May you close the gates of hell and open the gates of heaven. May all the sons of God grab hold to the peace and joy of all eternity. And may the devil stumble and fall deep into the pit prepared for him. For Jesus' sake, amen.